This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, with me, Brian Fernandez. Now, earlier this morning, President Trump signed steel and aluminium tariffs that imposed 25% duty on steel and 10% charge on aluminium. It will take effect in 15 days. To give us an insight on this move, we have on the line Tony Nash, Chief Economist and CEO of Complete Intelligence. Brian, you speak to him.
Good morning, Tony. What's your view on the impact of the tariffs in the short to medium term?
Good morning, Brian. I think the tariffs will, I guess there will be continuity with countries like Canada and Mexico that are exempt, but I think you'll have some major disruption in places like Korea and Brazil, where there are hundreds of millions for individual line items for steel and aluminum products. Cumulatively billions of dollars per month out of places like Korea and Brazil. So, you know, those relationships commercially will be under strain. And with Korea being such a strategic location for the U.S., I would guess that at some point in the next week or 2 weeks, they become exempt as well.
Now, do you see this increasingly protectionist stance really being the start of a full-blown global trade war?
Well, I think we have to look at how protectionist is defined. I mean, international trade and the term free trade is really a tricky phrase because tariffs themselves are only one component of the trade question. When we look at subsidies, we look at non-tariff barriers and other things, what this the aim of this punitive tariff is actually to get around things like non-tariff barriers and subsidies, which are illegal under the WTO, yet many, many countries persist with these things. So what Trump is really trying to do is to get countries like Germany, like China, like Korea, like Japan to really stop doing this because they subsidize industries through all sorts of means, and it's not legal under the WTO regime, yet they're not enforced.
Now, let's move on to Europe. Now, the European Central Bank opted to keep interest rates unchanged overnight and to continue its asset purchase program till September. So, essentially, what it does is it sets the stage for normalization of monetary policy in the Eurozone. Now, what's your view on this?
Well, we have to keep in mind a couple of things with the ECB. You have to look at the stock of quantitative easing versus the flow of quantitative easing. Now, there are trillions of euros of quantitative easing and assets on their balance sheet, okay? What they're talking about doing by September is stopping the flow of asset purchases. They'll still have this massive stock of QE and assets on their balance sheet. So all we're doing is slowing the purchases that they're making. Now, our view is Europe is likely to start to slow mid-year. So ECB has changed course before, so this is more of a warning than a policy change. They haven't firmly said they'll stop in September. It's more of a target. So we may see the ECB change. I think it's unlikely, but it's possible that they'll change and continue that. The real question is when will the stock of assets on their balance sheet start to be sold off? And I think we're some time away from that.
So, Tony, you're saying that essentially you're kind of bearish on the Eurozone in terms of growth overall?
Generally, yeah. I mean, things right now are in pretty good shape. But when you look at things like the banking system in the Eurozone, it's in pretty rough shape. I mean, banks like Deutsche Bank are in really, really terrible position. So, until the banking situation in the Eurozone can be sorted out and you can have a more solid financial system, I think Europe continues to have problems.
So given the weakening in the direction, weakening of growth in the Eurozone, what do you see the direction of the euro versus the US dollar?
So our view has been for months and continues to be that the dollar will begin to strengthen in June and that strength will accelerate a bit in July, okay? So it will have an impact on major currencies like the euro and the yen and even the ringgit. And so what we'll see with that also is a weakening of a number of commodities. So with things like crude oil, palm oil, We think those will stay in the same range they're in now for the next few months. But in the latter half of the year, we think that commodities generally, not all commodities, but commodities generally, specifically crude, will weaken in the second half of the year. And partly due to the supply, but also partly due to the impact of a stronger dollar.
Now, speaking of the yen, the Bank of Japan rate decision is stated for later today. What's your expectation there?
Well, Kuroda-san is the Uber dove, and Japan has massive demographic problems. I know that their growth has gone above expectation, but it's taken serious manipulation and monetary policy to get there. So our expectation is not for any a tightening by the BOJ. We think that Kuroda will stay the course. We think that they're angling for a weaker yen, so he'll send very dovish signals, despite the fact that although the yen is strengthening while the Nikkei is rising, which is a bit odd given the trend over the past few years, we think that he'll signal for a weaker yen to continue the rallying equity market and the success of Japanese companies.
So given the weaker yen, what sectors will foreign investors then put their money to work in Japan in 2018?
Really anything that you can pay for in yen, right? I mean, if there are things where the value add in an industry is done in Japan, those are the industries that people will want to invest in. So things where there are, let's say a lot of labor or a lot of, say, advanced manufacturing, these sorts of things where there are processes that can only be done in Japan, because of the weak yen, it will be a very affordable time for people to get in, and it will help them over time as yen. We don't necessarily think yen is going to come back to, say, 78 or something in the near term. So we think the yen will stay pretty depressed for say a medium term period.
Thanks for your insights, Tony. That was Tony Nash, Chief Economist and CEO at Complete Intelligence.
Next up, we speak to more news and analysis. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.